good to see everybody here this morning. Certainly appreciate the opportunity to bring to you a lesson from the Word of God, and want to welcome our visitors, encourage you to come back and be with us at every opportunity that you would have to be in our area. I want to begin today by asking a question: why are we here? Why are we here? And by way of illustration, I'd like to set sort of an example or illustration. There was a couple once upon a time that decided to go to church. They went and came home, and the wife and the husband, they're talking. And the wife says to the husband, "Well, did you notice that Miss Smith had a new dress on today?" "No," he says, "no." "Well, did you happen to notice Miss Jones had a new pair of shoes on today?" "No, I missed it." "Well," by this time she's getting a little frustrated. He's like, "Well, did you notice that the Bakers had a new car?" "No, no." "Well, you just weren't paying attention at all today, were you?" she tells him. And that's the idea. Why are we here? Why are we? Is that a good reason to be here? Check out what everybody's got going on? No, I want us to consider today for a few minutes why we are here today. What about our worship? And are we here for that reason? You know, people have a lot of reasons for coming. They want to this and that. They want to check out what's new with everybody else, what's going on. They want to have the fellowship. And some things, and we'll talk more about them later, some things are just fine to have in addition to worshiping God and are part of it and part of that gathering together. And that's all well and good, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But all too often, brethren, I want us to kind of talk about this today. All too often we view the worship services as just something to watch. You know, when we go to ball games, we go to concerts, we go to movies, this and that and this and that, so much of the time we're the audience and we're watching something going on. And yet when we come to the services of worshiping God, we unfortunately keep that mindset going. We tend to think of it as we're just watching a performance. You know, whether it's the preacher, the song leader, or whoever, leading various things, we just kind of sit back and say, "Well, I'll just sit here and take it easy and just watch what all is going on." And that's the wrong approach. See, that's the wrong approach. Everyone here should be a participant in the audience, which is God. That's the way we should think of when we come here. We are not here to be entertained. We are not here for reasons that suit us. Our audience is God. We are here to please God. We are here to honor God. We are here for that reason. Now, Jesus was revealing to a woman at Samaria about the reasons and pertaining to worship. And he was speaking to the Samaritan woman while he was at Jacob's well, and he was talking to her about worship, and she'd mentioned that her forefathers had worshiped God in Jerusalem. And Jesus told her in John 4 and verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And notice that latter phrase, "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." We've had a little technical difficulties, by the way, on this side, so everybody just kind of go that direction when we try to see what's going on. But I want us to notice that phrase, "seek as such to worship him." You know, God wants us to worship him. There are other things that take place. We realize we have fellowship one with another. We encourage those that need encouragement, comfort those who need comfort, and so on. But we must not lose sight of our primary purpose, and that is worshiping God. God is our audience, and we are all here as participants in the worship service. And when we assemble together on the first day of the week, we are here to worship God, and our primary focus should be to that purpose and to that end. So in this lesson, I'd like to discuss the importance of exhibiting reverence to God and honoring him and approaching him with godly fear and reverence on every worship service. And then discuss the importance we should place on our opportunities to worship God, and finally discuss some benefits of worship. But our worship, first of all, as we enter into this line of thinking, should be directed to God. Exodus 20 and verse 5 reveals to us, he says, "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, This is in connection with the Ten Commandments, where he did not want to have any other, does not want us to have any other gods before him, any other things that we worship. God is not pleased when we direct our worship toward anything other than him. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, and he says this, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused to you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now it's true, back when we had that passage in John 4:23, it is true that we need to worship the Father both in spirit and in truth. And we must not overemphasize one and neglect the other, or neglect one and over back. They're both important. We need to keep both of them in mind. And yet, it is possible for our worship to be worthless and vain if we fail to worship God in one way or the other. And certainly we need to worship God in truth. And that's what's stressed in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus said this in reference to the Jews. He said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now notice there's two things going on here. He says, their heart's far from me. So they weren't worshiping in the right spirit, first of all. They weren't paying attention. Their mind was elsewhere and so on. But also notice their teaching was not in accordance to the truth. They weren't worshiping in spirit. They weren't worshiping in truth. They were teaching for the commandments of men rather than commandments of God. So they were missing it both ways, and it caused their worship to be in vain. Now, it's true we certainly must have the proper teaching and follow it, but we also should put our heart into the things that we're doing. And all too often, I fear, we just go through the motions. Do we not? Sometimes we just, you know, we just... just have our mind elsewhere. We show up, we do what we're supposed to do and this and that, but just go through the motions. Just really don't pay attention, really don't think about why we're here, that we are here to honor God, that we are here to pay homage and reverence to God, for that's why we're here. Hosea said in Hosea 6 and verse 6, he said, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Now, the people of this time were offering sacrifices to God. They were going through the motions, you might say, but their heart wasn't in what they were doing. It was just a mindless exercise. You know, many of us are familiar also with the passage in the Bible in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, and they were the sons of the priest Aaron, and they were punished, even struck dead, because they did not follow the proper pattern that they were given for worship. They offered strange fire before God, and they were struck down because of that. But we also need to understand that what we are doing when we are worshiping God, and that's important as well. Paul admonished the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. He says, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." You know, what we do in truth should be according to truth of God's word. That is important. We need to follow the pattern that we've been giving. Not adding anything to it, not subtracting anything from it, but following that pattern. But at the same time, we sometimes forget we're supposed to pay attention. We're supposed to be singing when other people are leading that singing, and not just singing, but thinking about what we're singing. When Dwayne was up here praying, or any of the others up here praying, We're not just the audience watching them pray. No, they are leading a prayer. They are praying in behalf of everyone in this audience. So we need to be praying with them. As they pray, we're praying. That's why at the end we say amen sometimes, either inside or outside. But either way, we have the thought that was our prayer too. That was us. Not just Dwayne, or not just anybody that's up here leading it, but it was our prayer, each of us as individuals praying right along with whoever's leading it. And it is important to avoid distractions if we can at all. I know we're human. I know sometimes we get distracted, fly on the wall or something like that. Things throw us off a little bit. But try as best we can to avoid anything that distracts us. Psalms 19 and verse 14 tells us, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart..." And notice the part that I've underlined there, "the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." You know, we need to focus our attention when we're engaged in various parts, not planning for the week ahead when we're singing or solving the most recent problem at work when we're praying, just focusing on the Lord's Supper. We should focus on that, not planning what we're going to have for lunch. On and on the list goes. Yeah, we need to be engaged. We need to be worshiping God, not just participating, but worshiping God together as with God as our audience. Our worship should be something that we value, we look forward to it. Our attitude toward worship should not be the kind that places very little value on what we're doing. But it should not be, well, if I can't find anything else better to do, I'll show up. You know, that's not the approach. We look forward to our days off when we're working. We look forward to vacation. We look forward to the weekend. But we should also look forward to being here, in the worship services. But yet, how do we put that? Oh, I got to go to church tomorrow. I get to go to church. Whatever happened, I get to go to church. I get to go to worship services and so on. That's more the attitude that we should have. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 talks about that kind of thing. And he admonishes us, Paul, talking to the Roman brethren, as well as something for us to learn by. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not too much to ask. It's a reasonable service for what we've been given to be here today and to offer our tribute to God in worship, and a conscientious worship, not just going through the motions, but having our heart here as well, having a reason. And our worship should not be, as we talked about, a form of entertainment that we come to watch. It's not a performance, but it's something we're all participating in. And those of us who are parents, you know, we understand that our children want to enjoy being together with us. You know, we do nice things for them to encourage them, to make them happy. And it pleases us to see them happy and to see them show gratitude to us for the things that we've done. Well, God is that way toward us. He wants to give us good things, and he has given us good things. That's the thing. He has given us his only begotten Son. And when you consider what he's given us, it's only reasonable that he would want us to show some degree of affection toward him. Just like we like it when our children, you know, are glad to see us and that kind of thing. And God has that part of it too. He wants us to worship him. As we talked about from the very beginning, he seeketh such to worship him in John 4 and verse 23. So that's the desire, that's the idea. But yet we never want to forget that why we are here is to put God first. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here with the mindset of watching a ball game, watching a performance, watching this and that. No, we come for a different reason. And we come to participate in what's going on. Now, I also want to talk about, for a few minutes here, some of the benefits that we do receive from being here together. Yes, it's all about God. That's true. But there are benefits that we have when we're together. One of those is being closer to God. James 4 and verse 8 tells us, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. You know, the closer we are to God, the closer he is to us, and that's a wonderful benefit to think, and a wonderful thing to think about, really, when you think about, we are close to God here, but he wants to be close to us. That Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, we are familiar with that being the prodigal son. Now, the father allowed his son to leave. His son wanted to leave. Said, all right, you go ahead. But he kept looking for him, didn't he? He kept watching for him. He saw him when he was even just a long ways off. And so God wants us to be close to him. He likes it when we come to worship and we worship him and we are conscientiously aware of worshiping him and thinking about the things that we are doing, drawing close to him in our heart, and he likes that, and he comes close to us. And it's a benefit for us to have God close by. It's a comforting thing to have God close by. Another benefit, too, that we need to be aware of is our prayers are heard when we're here, especially. When we are gathered together for the purpose of worshiping God, we can have confidence that God is here with us, brethren. Matthew 18 and verse 20 has assured us, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." God's here with us today. He is. We need to have the faith and realize and think about the fact that he's here with us. And when we pray and when we sing and we partake of the Lord's Supper, so forth, the various items of worship that we do, he is here with us. He hears our prayers. He hears our praise to him. And he hears when we have a petition and so on. He is here with us. And that is certainly a comforting thought when we come here with a problem. We want to reach out to him. When we come here with people, you know, that are sad, that are going through struggles, that we can encourage them and say a prayer in their behalf and so on of that nature. Jesus cares about us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. He tells us, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Notice the American Standard Version has that, and it says, "Casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." He cares for us if we have a problem. He's just not so detached. It's like, well, that's your problem. Yeah. No, he cares about it. If we're worrisome, we're anxious, we're troubled with something, we've got something going on that's just making it very difficult for our lust, us to live our lives and struggling with it, he's with us. He cares about it. And keep in mind what we talked about in James 4:8. Draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. It's a comforting thing to know that. And he's here with us. We're two or three are gathered. He's here with us. We know that God is with us today because we're gathered together in his name. So think about how comforting that is when you have anxiety, when you have troubles, when you have struggles in your life. We can rest assured that he is with us and that he is here for us. Also, when we come together in worship, we are here to study God's word, and we learn more about him and his word. It's a benefit to us and helps us get close to God and helps us to appreciate God all the more. You know, the more we strive to know about God, the more we benefit from that knowledge. And in anything we do, the more we know about it, the more we get out of it. It's sort of like in sports. If you go to watch some game and you don't know anything about the game, you don't know anything about the rules, you don't even know anybody that's playing this game, how much do you really get out of it? Well, probably you're not going to be there, you know, for one reason. But if for some reason you're there, you could look to the person next to you and say, "I don't have a clue what's going on, you know. What are they doing? Why are they doing that?" And that person probably tell you to hush because they're trying to watch the game. But anyway, you get the idea. It doesn't register. It doesn't mean much to you. But that's why knowledge is important. You say, well, why are they taking the Lord's Supper? Why are they singing? Why does this song say this and not something else? Why aren't they using an instrument? The more you know about what's going on, the more engaged you can be in it. It's just like if you do go to a ball game and you know all about the rules and you know all about the players and you're very much engaged in watching that game. And the same thing works, except we are to be even more engaged, I understand, with God as our audience. That's true. More than just a ball game, as we've stressed in this lesson. But knowledge helps. Knowledge helps us to avoid distractions. It helps us to realize, as we talked about with James 4:8, we're getting closer to God. We know that James 4:8 says that. We know that we have that assurance from Matthew 18:20 that God's here with us. All of that's part of the knowledge that we have. All of that's important knowledge to realize how what we're doing here is important to God. And God seeks us to worship him. And so It's just like anything else. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. That's true with anything in life. It's true with a lot of different things, but certainly it's true with our service to God and our worship to God. But also, not only do we benefit from the blessings that come from God, but we benefit from the blessings that come from fellow Christians. When we are together, we can lift one another up and encourage one another. We are in many ways, brethren, like a family. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 50, he said, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." We are the part of the family of God. When we are together, we are family. And the church that we read about in the Bible is like a family in the way that she functioned as well. Paul used the analogy of the human body to illustrate the way that we work together to help each other. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. When one member be honored, the other, all the members rejoice with it. And in Romans 12 and verse 15, it has this to say, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. We do that, do we not? We do that, really. When someone is struggling, loss of a loved one, they're going, some kind of tragedy happens, we're with them. We're there with them. We're coming over to them and encouraging them and saying, can we do anything for you? Can we help? And we mean that, you know, when we say that and that kind of thing, because we're a family and we work together like a family to help one another. And when someone graduates from high school, graduates from college, does have something, a happy event in their life, well, we come up to say, congratulations. We heard this great thing happened with you. And we want to encourage you and to go further and hope everything works out well for you and pat them on the back. And all of that, see, is a benefit of being here together. All of that is a wonderful thing. And keep in mind, we are here for God. We are here. It's all about God. That's true. But it's not that we don't receive any benefit from being here as well. It's like icing on the cake, you might say. We're here to worship God, but we also have a benefit of being together and being able to receive encouragement when we need it, to give encouragement to someone else and things of that nature and benefit from the fellowship that we have together as Christians. So as we come to the close of this, I want to stress again, the greater emphasis we place on our worship to God, the more it'll benefit us. And when we have that proper attitude to our worship, we become closer to God, and He gets closer to us. And when God's close to us, we can know that He's there for our problems, and He's there for our trials and our difficulties in this life. And we can also benefit from our Christian family. So it may be the case that someone here is here today and is not part of that Christian family. We want to give you a chance to become part of the family of God, the Christians that we share fellowship one with another today. And in order to do that, we need you to obey the gospel and faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And then continue to live that faithful life, continue to assemble and worship God and encourage one another. And if you've already done this and yet have strayed away, we want to encourage you to come back to your first love. We'd like to help you in any way if you'll let your needs be known as we stand and sing the encouragement song. What?